Plenty to go on, and I don't think we're going to do it all today. Particularly, I need to give you some background as well.
Can we go through the, and the Lord's Prayer and do that a bit today?
Well, we might, yes. Yeah. The feasts of Israel, where, how did they start? Where are the origins of them? And there's a mix of things. Of course, they got some of them from the Bible, yeah? And then throughout their history, certain things happened which they then remembered as a part of their yearly cycle. And also, they built in traditions as part of what they do in their feasts as well. Different customs developed with the different groups. I don't know, do you know there are basically two groups of the Jewish people, the Ashkenazis and the Sephardis?
Yeah. No,
no, no. No, Ashkenazi are the North European group. They obviously were scattered a long time ago, and the Sephardi ones are the Middle Eastern group, yeah? They're all Jews, it's just they've got those, because they were separated. So the Ashkenazis, you have the ones with the Polish hats and the big, you know, all those
the frummers,
as you some of them know, yeah? That's Ashkenazi background. They have their own particular ways of doing things and their own traditions. And so the feasts have their particular mix depending on which group you're with, of course. So that's where it all started from, a mix of all sorts of things. Just to say about how the feasts are timed. The feast day begins at dusk. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
The day begins in the evening, and that comes from Genesis chapter 1, where, well, I'll give you the verse. Genesis 1 verse 5. We've got a few verses to look up, dear friends. Good exercise for your fingers. Mm-hmm. Genesis 1 verse 5 says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. So the day begins with the evening. Evening and then morning. So the feast days begin in the evening. Right. And there's another verse in 15. Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. And so God provides these... Oh, verse 14. The lights in the expanse in the sky to separate the day from the night, to let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. So God created a clock. Yeah, it's called the sun and the moon and the stars. The little hand is the moon, the big hand is the sun, and then the really big hand are the stars. Yeah, the moon goes round once a month, the earth spins round once a day, yeah, the sun goes round once a day, well, by that effect anyway, and then the stars go round once a year. Yeah, once a year. The stars come back to their same place after a year. Yeah. Right, okay, so important to say this, that the feast days are all set on the fixed days in the Hebrew calendar. Yeah. So, for example, Passover is on the 14th of Nisan. Yep. That's when Passover occurs. Every year on the 14th of Nisan. There's a problem, though. Because the Jewish calendar is what we call a lunisolar calendar. The months of the Jewish year are measured by the months of the moon. And the months of the moon are 27 days and a bit. So it gets out of sequence. And so what they've done with the Jewish calendar is about every 3 years or so they add an extra month. You know, every 4 years we add one day because we've got it worked out with the months. But in their calendar, every three-ish years, it's actually a 19-year cycle, and they have seven changeovers during that, yeah? But, yeah, so they had an extra month to make it fit. Otherwise, you get out of sync with the seasons. That's what it's about, yeah? So, although their feast days occur on exactly the same day in their Jewish calendar, it's not exactly the same day of the year as far as our calendar is concerned.
Yeah?
We follow what's called the Gregorian calendar, yeah, which is 365 and a quarter days, and it's divided into 12 months with different lengths to make it all work out, yeah? That's the Gregorian. That was done by one of the Pope Gregory's. Yeah. And what happened is that effectively the Jewish dates, feast dates, turn up on different days, different years. Yeah? So it's a bit like our Easter. Yeah, Easter is calculated on a moving scale because of the time of the first spring equinox and all of that, yeah? So, you need to keep an eye on the Jewish lists to find out what days the feasts are. That's important, yeah, okay? Right. So that's the timing. It varies. That was what I'm getting at. Last week was the beginning of the Jewish New Year.
Yeah.
Right, it's not every time September the 8th and 9th at the beginning, but it was last week. Yeah. What's the significance of the feasts? Why do they have them? Well, of course, God told them. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons.
That was to clear out their cupboards.
Helps them to clear out their cupboards, yes. But there's something really, really fascinating to my mind about the feasts, and it's this: it's not just memories. When they have the feast, they're virtually reliving the historical experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what it's doing is it's rewriting their history into their lives in the present. Yeah. So when they talk about in the Passover, for example, we were slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not just them several thousand years ago. You're almost there with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages of the festivals, is it sort of grains in the history for them as well.
Sin, wasn't it, as well?
Sorry?
The time was for sin, rather fellow.
Well, we'll come to that, yes. Yeah. Yeah, yes, the time for seeking God's forgiveness, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it brings the past to the present. That's one of the things about that. And also, several of these feasts are linked in with, and you saw about bringing various grain offerings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're linked in with the agricultural year.
Mm-hmm.
So there are harvests. There's the earlier harvest and there's the late harvest, and the feasts match in with those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a kind of harvest festival, a thanksgiving to God for what he's provided.
Yeah.
It's so easy to take it for granted. You go to the supermarket, get it off the shelf.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
You know, someone's got to grow the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is the provider of that. And the feasts were a way of recognizing God's provision.
Yeah,
yeah, which is a lovely thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the feasts are prophetic. There are things that happened in the feasts that speak about things that were going to happen in the Bible times and in the future as well. So there's a whole lot of significance of the feasts, yeah? But then, just a little bit more about them. We can arrange the feasts into four different types of grouping. Yep. There's the frequent ones. They turn up fairly regularly. And then there's the annual ones. There's the annual spring ones. Then there's the annual autumn ones. And then there's a fourth group. There's extras. Because, I don't know if you noticed, but in this list of feasts that we have here, the Jews celebrate another half a dozen or more feasts. You know, not short of feasts. They've added a few more besides, for various reasons. We'll pick those up as well. But there's the extras, which we'll look at a bit later on. Right, so we'll start with the frequent ones. And that is verse 3 of Leviticus, the Sabbath. 6 days you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You're not to do any work wherever you live. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. The Sabbath day is a Saturday. It's the end of the week. Yes, it's the last day of the week, a rest day. Yeah, right. So that's Shabbat.
Does that apply to us today? Just give an introduction.
What?
Why are the Jewish feasts important to us today?
Well, they're in the Bible.
Three of them should be, the rest may not. It's only three. There's only, Dennis, I think there's only real three, well, they're festivals, three main festivals that run to God. That's Passover, Tabernacles, and Pentecost.
Well, yeah, well...
The rest is just a background thing of tradition.
The application is that they're prophetic, one of the things. The other is, I'm not one for making notes of dates and seasons. We'll deal with that right at the end. But I think it's good to have our year divided up at points of remembering what God's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do that every Sunday as we meet together, isn't it? In one sense,
we do. We have Christmas and
Easter. Yeah, those sort of times. But harvest, I think, has been neglected somewhat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's what some of these feasts were obviously referenced to, and thanking God for a New Year's supply of food, basically, you know.
So you can take all the veg from
the food. So the significance of the feast hasn't changed in that we should be thanking God for the things. How we celebrate them, they've obviously... what I'm saying about the Sabbath here, it doesn't say anything about how they celebrated the Sabbath, except that they weren't to do any work.
Yeah.
Religious people, when they get together and they're going to celebrate, they work out a structure very quickly, and it becomes sort of the tradition of the way we do it. The Jews have done that with the Sabbath, yeah? So on the Sabbath, for example, we've got, by the way, the Yiddish version is Shabbos, is it? Sabbath?
Shabbos.
Shabbos, yeah, right. So the Yiddish one is the Ashkenazi version, yeah? Right, but it's, first of all, the Sabbath is based on the point of what happened in creation. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, after God had finished creating everything, he rested on the seventh day. Right? So he rested on the seventh day and made it a holy day, a special day, and he said, that's what the people are to do. You need to have a rest. Right? But it wasn't just a rest of putting your feet up at the seaside, it was a time for spending with the Lord. Yeah, that's one of the things about it, yeah.
But he didn't rest for himself, did he, really?
Well, he rested from his work of creating.
I mean, that big for man, didn't he, really?
Yes, yes. Well, God wasn't tired. No. God wasn't tired when he stopped the work of creating. Yeah, that's true, yeah. But we do need the rest, certainly. So, it was based on that, yeah.
And
the
wind
of
that is
a
bit,
well, yeah. Well, in our yes, somewhat the Jewish timing is God intervening in man's little plans.
It says
so often.
He is to be like God. Why did God rest? And he went and he told you that in Exodus 28. You know, so says the seventh day of creation is given as a reason for the institution of the Sabbath.
Yes.
It was unique in the ancient world and definitely identity maker for the Jewish people.
Yes.
In addition to all created matters being good, time was now blessed and made holy. To rest is to be like God.
Right. Well, there you are. It's a recognition that God's your creator.
Mm.
Yeah. That he has the right to how we spend our time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he also, Jesus had this issue with the legalists. They turned Sunday into a complete day of thou shalt nots, and Jesus was saying, look, the Sabbath was made for man.
Yeah.
It was in order to bless man. Mm-hmm. Okay, it means you don't do all that extra work that you'd normally do, but it's a time to refresh yourself in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was about, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said, various traditions are built up. Of course, when does the Sabbath start?
Friday evening
is Sabbath, yeah. We'll pick up how it's transferred to the Christian thing, yeah, right. But Sabbath begins on a Friday evening, and what traditions do the Jews have for Sabbath? Well, they've got all sorts. I mean, as I say, people get very inventive. They've got a special Sabbath candles that they light, special prayers, and of course, a special meal. Yes, right.
And the wife sees it in,
yes. So they have all these traditions. There's nothing biblical about that, right? In that sense. But that's not to say that it's not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So that's how they reckon Sabbath's a very special term. It's a feast day that comes regularly every week, yeah? And it's a recognition that God's the creator and he cares about us, yeah? Now, that's a reminder of the creation, of course. An interesting thing of how that's happened as far as the Christian church is concerned, is that as the New Testament began to recognize the resurrection of Jesus on the Sunday, right, that became more prominent than the Saturday bit. And so I think for the Gentiles they shifted towards Sunday meetings. They did, and Paul talks about it on the Corinthians. When you meet together on the first day of the week, you know, get a collection together to minister to the poor and whatever. So that's how the traditions have changed. But my personal opinion is that you need to have one day a week somewhere along the line where you have a rest, right? And that's how God's made us to operate.
Did that whole 24 hours or?
Well, as best as you can. I mean, there's some parts that, let me put it this way, for the early Christians, for example, for the early Christians of the Gentile communities who were drawn from the Gentile communities, substantially a large number of them were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? They weren't given days off to go and worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So they had to get up crack of dawn to meet together or stay up late at night. That's why poor old Eutychus dropped off, literally. Yeah? Yeah? The chap was tired out.
On the window ledge.
On the window ledge, yes. Yeah. So, you know, one of the real blessings of this Jewish feast, as far as its influence through Christians are concerned, is it gave people a 7-day week where they had one day to have a rest in.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Now what's happened is our humanistic, atheistic society has chipped away at that now.
Yeah. Mm.
For the sakes of efficiency, it's 24/7 now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Well, that's not how people are meant to work. And we're seeing, I read an article the other day, the 21st century is a century of stress.
Yeah.
And we know why.
Yeah.
Leave God out, leave God's ways out, and you've got problems.
Yeah.
So, Sabbath has its place. Somewhere you need to rest, brothers and sisters, and to meet with the Lord and to worship Him together. Yeah. Yep.
Didn't productivity go up during Heath, was it, his 3-day week?
No idea, did it? Quite well, yeah. Well, if you flog people to death, they work well.
Wasn't it also true, though, that the reason why where we are today with the Sunday is because we were persecuted in the early days not to rest on the Sabbath, on the true Sabbath, the Saturday? The church was persecuted, I think there might have been a truth in the historical
things. But Christians were persecuted for just being Christians.
Regarding Paul's collecting money, it would have been, like you say, the Sabbath would have been finished, that's why he could collect the money.
Yes, yeah.
So everything was, the assembly was still on the Saturday when he was...
Well, I don't think it was. No, I think that it says when you meet together. But that would be on the Lord's Day.
I just think, the Lord's Day. But then the Lord's Day in context, the day of the Lord is...
No, it's not the same. No, the day of the Lord is the day that the Lord comes back.
But
the Lord's Day became to be recognised as the day of the resurrection.
Jesus walked the earth, and he was God, and he made it quite clear, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes.
He was talking about a singular day. But somehow we've adopted our understanding on scripture and made it a Sunday.
No, I think the Sabbath's still the
biblical scripture.
No, the Sabbath's still the Sabbath. You recognise that as the last day of the week.
Mm.
But the first day of the week became to recognise Christians were celebrating the resurrection.
Mm.
But it wasn't a commandment or a direct teaching from Jesus at all. We've just applied that understanding ourselves.
Well, we have, because there's no teaching in the New Testament about observing the Sabbath. Mm. That's a real crunch on that one. There is no command to observe the Sabbath in the New Testament teaching.
If Jesus is God, and God hasn't changed, then His traditions that He gave His people, which we are of, because Paul says we're the wild olive.
Yeah, I take your point.
And we're grafted in. So if we're grafted in spiritually, we should have things in common with our Jewish brothers and sisters who are Messianics back in Israel.
Yeah.
We should have things in common.
Yeah. And if you're in Israel, there's no problem about celebrating the Sabbath on the Sabbath, because that's what they do there.
Yeah.
But if you're in an Islamic country, you'll have your Sabbath on a Friday.
But a Messianic teacher on these issues said, why does the Gentile world think, because we're the wild olive tree grafted into the cultivated olive tree, which is Israel, why we think we grafted into a Christmas tree, just for
an illustration.
We want to celebrate the birth of Messiah, and all the information is in the Bible, but we just haven't drawn it out the scriptures to see the true dating of things.
Yeah. Well, you can't get the true dating of the Christmas event.
No.
Because it's not given.
Christmas and...
Let me come back to the Sabbath. I'll give you an example. If you look at the teachings that Paul and others apply of the commandments, Romans in particular, Paul talks about the various commandments and how we are to observe the law, but it's through the Spirit enabling us to do that.
Yeah.
The one commandment that's never mentioned in the New Testament, all the others are adultery, murder, kill it, you name it, false teaching, all that thing. The one commandment that's not mentioned is Shabbat. And that's because things have shifted to the church recognising the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week.
Yeah, but Jesus never installed it as a teaching.
His teaching was he rose from the dead. That's the point.
Because we want to make it special.
We don't make it special, we recognise it is special.
We take on our own agenda with it. What I'm saying is, we're not applying it in the context that God set it up in the first place. Everything, it's like we just read in Leviticus.
Yeah.
Well, twilight, he was, the lambs are sacrificed at twilight. John's Gospel is the only one that tells you that Jesus was crucified at twilight.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
there are
those things. One of the things that's really important, that I take your point, but one of the things we need to bear in mind is that in the New Testament era, things have changed, yeah, fundamentally. And I'll come to this with these feasts. The Jews recognize the feasts, they seek to celebrate the feasts, but they cannot celebrate the feasts as written here, because the temple's gone, the sacrifice system's gone, they are stumped when it comes to fulfilling these things. We fulfill them spiritually, that's the issue I'm trying to raise.
But even on a spiritual plane, Dennis, we should still have that common thread of truth that God has given us.
Yeah.
And to his people, we should have more in common with our Jewish brothers and sisters in Messiah.
Yeah. I recognise we should have a 7-day week, whatever week it is.
Generations, we can do
it. Like what you said about all the traditions that were brought into place by individuals for the Sabbath. It wasn't a teaching, a direct teaching, but they brought those traditions.
They've added to them, and they're okay in their place.
It meant something to them, which is fantastic. But the thing is, that is what Jesus said. He says, I'm not interested in your tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbour.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing
to
do.
Okay, well, we can go on with this one for a long time. Yeah. All I'm saying is that the Sabbath is given, there's a cycle in human nature that's, I mean, they did the experiments when the communists came in, they tried to inaugurate a 6-day week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah. We're designed to run on a clock of 7. Yeah, that's the way we work.
I mean, it's like when I was growing up, I mean, we couldn't do anything on Sunday. We had to cook all the food on Saturday.
Right.
And all we did, we went to church.
Right.
And, you know, we heat up the food.
Yes.
We didn't work.
You made a Sabbath of the Sunday. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. That's what we did. We didn't do any work whatsoever.
Yeah.
Go to church, come home, read the scriptures.
Yeah. Well, let me just read you one bit. I was going to have it at the end, but I'll give it. It's in Romans 14, if I may. Romans 14. We'll come back to it, of course. It may take three weeks at this rate. Romans.
There's a lot of digging.
We've got a lot of digging. Romans chapter 14. Yeah. Before you get to Romans 14, I'll give you the end bit. But I want to say, because having looked at, when we have looked at all the feasts, they have an important part to play prophetically in terms of organising the year cycle, a way of thanking God for what he's provided.
Yeah.
But I want to take you first to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 13. We'll get back to Romans in a moment. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 13. Well, actually, verse 10. I'll pick it up at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. He's talking to Jews there.
Yeah.
Yeah? And he's saying they're no better than the Sodomites.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Yeah? So, God's having a go at them. Why? Because they've become a ritual. Mm-hmm. It's just meaningless garbage.
Yeah.
They're going over the motions, offering their sacrifices, and thinking God's interested.
Yeah.
He wants your heart. Hearts weren't in it, no.
Yeah.
So, the warning I want to say about all the feasts is, you don't go through the motions, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Your heart has to be engaged. Yeah. Yeah?
Now, they weren't actually remembering, were
they? They weren't doing anything, no. It's just good luck charm, basically.
Yeah.
We do this stuff, God, you've got to do this now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, then, my Romans bit, yeah? Now, Paul is writing to Gentiles, because there was a Jewish community who were believers in Rome as well. And so he's writing this to them in verse 5 of chapter 14.
Yeah.
One man considers one day more sacred than another.
Yeah.
Another man considers every day alike.
Yeah.
Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind.
Mm.
He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. That's the Sabbath he's talking about, as well as the feasts. Yeah? Right? He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So some were avoiding the sacrifice, the meat, in the hand, because they were offered to pagans, basically, so they were avoiding that. Some were saying, pagan gods, neither here nor there, I'm having my meat, thank you.
Right.
And he said, basically, so he says, one gives thanks to the Lord and the other does. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the point he's really trying to make there, I'll just carry on. Verse, for this reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account to himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. So that's my final word. I haven't even got past the Sabbath so far, but I can quickly do the next. Sorry, that's I want to go on to the next feast. I said that we can divide them up into four groups. The frequent ones. Sabbath is weekly, a weekly reminder of God's creation and God's wanting us to have fellowship with Him. Right. And then we have what's called the new moon. The new moon. That's on Numbers 28:11. Yeah, we read about that already. The new moon. The new month. Numbers 28:11 says. What does it say? On the first of every month, present to the Lord a burnt offering of two young bulls, one ram and seven male lambs. So they celebrated each month. And how did they celebrate each month? Well, with the feast and various things and that, whatever, yeah. But how do you know when it's a new month?
The moon.
The moon. Yeah. Right. The problem is, how do you decide when the moon started again? Because it goes through its phases, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It waxes and wanes. And it goes black, and then you just see that little crescent as it starts again.
Mm.
And in Bible times, they used to have people out observing to see when it was the first chink of the light of the crack of the moon, so that then they could say, the month's begun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And it created a problem. Yeah? Because when someone saw the moon, first, they had to go and report to the officials, so that the officials would then say, the new moon's arrived, the month has started. Yeah? But, fine, if you're in the city, but what happens if you live 40 miles down the road, right, and you haven't heard it's official, right? So what they've done, this is very clever of the Jews, right? The feasts that are supposed to start on one day, they have 2 days more. Yeah. Just to make sure you get it in. Right. Clever, isn't it? Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see, present day celebrations. For example, the Jewish New Year covered 2 days. Yeah?
Yes.
Right? And the reason for that is, originally the new moon meant that you had to do it over 2 days to make sure you got it right. That's amongst other things. As well as the evenings and the morning stuff as well. Yeah. Okay. Right, so there's 2 days for each festival each year. So this September, on the 9th and the 10th, was a Jewish New Year. Right? There's something very strange about that, and I'll just do this as my last little bit as an introduction. The second section is the spring festivals. Yeah? And the first of the spring festivals is the first of the three pilgrim feasts, where you're meant to go up to Jerusalem to worship. Yeah? And the first of the pilgrim feasts was Passover. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Right? Now then, here's your problem. Just look at Exodus 12 verse 2. We'll pick this up next time, but I just thought I'd throw this in as a spanner for you. Exodus 12 verse 2. Right, after they come out of Egypt, yeah, so the Lord says, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole Israelite community that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household, and celebrate the Passover. Right. So, when's the first month of the year? It's the year, it's the date of the Passover month. It's the Nisan, yeah? It was also called Abib. Well, deal with that later on. It's had a different name later on, but yeah. Right, now then, what's that say? When was Jewish New Year?
September.
But this says Jewish New Year is in April. They've got two New Years now. Cheeky monkeys.
One's a Western calendar, which they go by.
No. Both are Jewish.
But it's linked with the Canaanites.
No, that's not it. No, not here. No, the Jewish...
Could it be that?
The Jewish New Year is here in Passover time, but it's the official New Year. What tradition has done is they've taken the time of the Feast of the Trumpets, which we'll get back to in Exodus, in Leviticus. The Feast of Trumpets is the start of the Jewish New Year now. So the first of the month of the Feast of Trumpets is Rosh Hashanah, the New Year, which is in September. So they've snuck in two New Years. Why not celebrate twice? Yeah. But when it came to reckoning the king's reigns and whatever, they used the Nisan, the early part of the year, as the reckoning of the year cycle for the kings. It's we complicated. I told you the timing on these things can be a little interesting, yeah.
And that surely is prophetic because Jesus is. In the new year, isn't it?
Well, we'll come to the Passover in due course, yeah, but we're not dealing with that now. It is prophetic, yes, yeah, it was fulfilled through Jesus. So I've only got down a third of my writing here. yes, quite right. But what we'll attempt to do is we'll get into the major feasts, which is the spring sessions, which is Passover and Pentecost. Yeah, those are the first big ones. They're the harvest ones. The first harvest.
Pentecost
is the harvest.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the first harvest.
Not that, well,
that's the fulfilment of it. It's prophetic. But the Jewish feast, Pentecost, is still celebrated. It's called the Shavuot, weeks. Feast of Weeks. Yeah? Right? And then there's a gap in between that, when you're allowed to rest from all the feasting. Right? And then you get autumn time. The seventh month is really significant, seven being a very special number in the Jewish numbering system. Yeah? The seventh month has New Year, the Feast of Trumpets, it has Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, it has the Feast of Tabernacles, and it has a day called Celebrating the Torah as well. Yeah, so you've got all those on the seventh month, which is now.
Tabernacles is important.
Yes.
Pentecost is important.
Yeah.
And Passover is important.
Yes.
So God, but they're the ones that God wants us to keep going. All the feasts and the festivals.
Yeah.
The three main festivals God wants all believers to do is Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles.
Yes, we'll see that. Yeah. They have their part, definitely. Yeah. And all of them have got partial fulfilments and full fulfilments, some of them as well, as we'll see. Yeah. But you'll have to wait for that now. I'm sorry about this.
Time has gone.
And the new moon is almost here.
Right.
What's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is a commandment. Yes, it's a commandment. Right. Yeah, it means a commandment. Yeah. Sorry?
Friday night.
Both. It starts Friday night and it runs through until Saturday evening.
Yeah. 24 hours.
Yeah. Sabbath ends on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And so in Israel, Sunday is a working day. It's the first day of the week.
Yeah.
Jim.
Okay, let's pray, dear friends, and we'll let you carry on. Relax. Lord, there's so much your word has to tell us, and how things have moved on over the centuries as well, Lord. We need to learn, Lord, where we go right in all your matters, Lord. We pray, Lord, we may honour you and recognise that you are the Lord of all creation, and being so, Lord, the Lord of our lives. We want to thank you, Lord, for the seasons, the months that come and go, the days that pass by. All these precious moments are gifts from you, Lord. For your word, even the pagan writer could say, in you we live and move and have our being. Mm. Lord, thank you for your mercies, and we pray you'll bless us, Lord, as we continue to study these times of celebrating your goodness and your grace. Mm. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.